Praise the Lord. Welcome to the house of the Lord on this wonderful, beautiful Thanksgiving Day. Time to celebrate the goodness of the Lord. Rejoice in all he's done. Title of the message today, Gathering Corn in the Valley of Rephaim. Let's look at Isaiah 17 and verse 5, where this scripture is found. Isaiah 17, 5. King James Version, and it shall be as when the harvestman gathereth the corn and reapeth the ears with his arm, and it shall be as he that gathereth ears in the valley of Rephaim. And then New King James Version, it shall be as when the harvester gathers the grain and reaps the heads with his arm. It shall be as he who gathers heads of grain in the valley of Rephaim. Those who gather grain in the valley of Rephaim. I want to say first this morning that I am so thankful for the body of Christ to be a part of it. Not only the body of Christ at large, because that's not really where I live, but I'm thankful for the body of Christ at large. I'm thankful for Martin Smith and the team that's coming in from United Kingdom this weekend. They'll be here as well Sunday morning leading worship and ministering in this house. How the blessing of the Lord has come through so many anointed ministers and worship leaders across the planet to bless and cross-pollinate the body of Christ. I'm thankful for Banning Leapshire from Jesus Culture coming again to impart the word and the life of God to us. I'm thankful for the body of Christ at large. But I'm also very, very thankful for the body of Christ in specific, because it's in the body of Christ, in this church, in this assembly, in this family of God, that we really find our purpose, our function, our place. We can't really function outside or apart from the body. And the Lord gives us that illustration in our natural body, that if a member separates itself from the natural body, that member cannot function. It has no power, it has no purpose, it has no ability simply on its own. And the truth is, the natural body, if a member separates itself from the natural body, that member will die. Now, it's not necessarily so with the body of Christ, because every member has life within it, the life of Christ. But if we separate ourselves from the body and don't take our place, we will never find our purpose. We will never find our place. We will never function as we are meant to be, because every part of the body is dependent on other parts of the body in order to find its fulfillment. That's how important the body of Christ is. And this morning I want to give thanks to the Lord for the many brothers and sisters and the ministers of the gospel and the preachers of the gospel that have imparted wisdom and understanding into my life. Brothers and sisters that have opened up the Word of God to me, shared a truth, spoken a word, ministers of the gospel that have opened up the Scriptures. How thankful I am for the treasure. How thankful I am for the gold, for the insight, for the beauty of the Word of God, those priceless treasures that have come in to bless our lives and to build us up in the Lord. You know, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, he said, that in everything ye are enriched by Christ, in all utterance and in all knowledge. In everything you are enriched by Christ, he said to that local church at Corinth. In all utterance, said the gifts of utterance are manifest in your midst. The utterance of the Lord. They were filled with the Spirit and spake in tongues. It says as the Spirit gave utterance. The Spirit has to give us utterance. We need the language of the Holy Spirit in us. I'm thankful that we are enriched in the utterance of the Lord. I'm thankful for the prophetic utterance that's in our worship in this house of God. As we begin to flow before the Lord, language flows out of us, words flow out of us. Wisdom begins to bubble up in our hearts that we never knew before, but it's that spirit of utterance. And he said, you're enriched in all knowledge as well. All knowledge. These gifts of revelation and the opening up of the Scriptures. The Apostle Paul said, so that you as a church, Corinth, you come behind in no gift. There's nothing lacking. in your utterance. There's nothing lacking in your prayer power. There's nothing lacking in your worship. There's nothing lacking in your understanding of the word. You come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then in 1 Corinthians 2, he went on to say, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. The natural man cannot open these truths and revelations up, but God reveals them by his Holy Spirit. For it says the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. The deep things of God. There are many surface things of God, but there is, when it comes to all things, there is nothing greater than this word of God that's in our hand. And the Bible says the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God, to reveal to us the truths of the Lord. The Apostle Paul said, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual discerns all things. He that is spiritual discerns all things. The Apostle Paul said there is a realm of knowledge and understanding that you can't obtain by human means, by your own intellect, by your own ability, by your own cleverness. There's a realm of knowledge that only comes to us by the Holy Spirit. And this utterance, this knowledge of the Lord builds us up and strengthens us and gives us understanding of the ways and purposes of God. I am so thankful for brothers and sisters who've shared the word. I'm so thankful for every scripture that has come alive on the pages of the book. And that's why this morning I quoted first on the screen Isaiah 17:5, because there's a brother in this church, a man of God, Brian Dombrowski, who a few weeks ago came and showed me a verse in Isaiah 17:5. He said, Pastor, this word is speaking to me, but I can't understand it. Can you give me understanding of this verse? And I knew what the textbook explanation was. I knew the context. I could have given him some theological word on that, but I was checked in my spirit because I was intrigued by a phrase in that verse, because I've been pondering that phrase in another portion of the scripture for a year and a half. And do not have full understanding. And when he brought Isaiah 17:5 to me, my heart leapt. And I said to him, I said, Brother, you need to go and pray and ask the Lord what this scripture means. And then come and let me know what the Lord said to you. And it wasn't a week later, but he came to me with a written page. And how beautiful the Lord had crafted that word for his own heart and admonition and injunction for his own life. But how that word has spoken to me, and how I've been able to, because of that word, put another word together. And this morning I trust that we will receive an understanding of the Lord. It shall be as when the harvestman gathereth the corn and reapeth with his arm, and it shall be as he that gathereth corn where? In the valley of Rephaim. Today is Thanksgiving Day in our nation, and how thankful we are for the provision of the Lord, the food on our tables. Our nation is blessed of the Lord. There's provision. No one goes hungry in our nation. No one dies of hunger or starvation in our nation. The Lord has provided, and we are so thankful for the abundant fields of golden grain and for the vegetable gardens, for the regions of our country that are able to have vineyards and the fruit orchards that abound. We could not be more thankful to the Lord for what he's done. 1,000 times over, we thank him. We thank him again and again. Every time we eat our food, every time we pray over a meal, we are praying with thanksgiving for the provision of the Lord. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's provided. He has given us daily bread for the sustenance of our lives and of our families. My, we couldn't be more thankful 1,000 times over. 10,000 times over, we're thankful. Psalm 147 and verse 7. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. For he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sendeth out his word and melteth them. He causes his wind to blow and the waters flow. Promise of Genesis 8:22, as long as the earth remains, as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. Today, how thankful we are for the harvest of the earth, for the provision of the Lord, for our lives and for our families. But today I want to go on and speak about another harvest, because I felt the Holy Spirit turn this word. There's another harvest that is very dear to the heart of God, and that is the harvest of souls. Men and women, boys and girls, the harvest of the precious souls of people in the earth. My, how the Lord longs over this harvest. The Lord weeps over the harvest of the earth. He travails, he groans over the harvest of the earth, and he needs some harvesters with him. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Jesus showed us the heart of God. Jesus weeping over Jerusalem. How often would I have gathered you, but you wouldn't come and you missed the time of your visitation. And now the day will come where your enemies will compass you about and you will fall in destruction. The Lord weeps over the harvest. He's weeping over the nations. He's weeping over the people. I wonder if we're in tune with the Spirit of God and our own hearts weep for the harvest of the earth, that we groan and travail over the men and women that have not yet come to Christ, over the nations that are in bondage under the tyranny of Satan and need light and deliverance and release from their captivity. There's a harvest that is very dear to the heart of the Lord. Jeremiah 8 and verse 20, Jeremiah the prophet, this is his lament. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. And the winter, harsh winter winds begin to blow, and the harvest is lost for eternity. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. We are not saved. Pastor James, the senior minister of the First Jerusalem Church, 5:7, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain, the rains that brought forth the harvest. The husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth. John chapter 4, verses 35 to 36. Jesus had just ministered the gospel to the Samaritan woman, a broken, barren life, and how she rejoiced at the gospel message and the well of salvation that was put into her that would spring up into everlasting life. The disciples came back from their time in the city buying food and provision. And he said to them, Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that sows and he that reaps may rejoice together. Don't put it off. Don't say there are yet 4 months. Maybe another day I'll preach the gospel. Maybe another day I'll share the gospel of Christ. Don't say it's yet 4 months till harvest. The fields are white. He that reaps and receives wages gathers fruit unto life eternal. Then Matthew 9, the example of Jesus himself in his ministry, verses 35 to 38. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. The cry of the Lord, that laborers be sent forth into his harvest. And now we come back to Isaiah 17 and verse 5. Isaiah 17 and 5. And it shall be as when the harvestman gathereth the corn and reapeth the ears with his arm, and it shall be as he that gathereth grain in the valley of Rephaim. The valley of Rephaim. Rephaim means the giants. It shall be as he that gathers grain in the valley of the giants. The valley of Rephaim was a valley that lay just to the south of Jerusalem toward Bethlehem, and it descended gradually toward the southwest. It was a very prosperous valley, a fertile valley. If you wanted to speak of fruitfulness and grain harvest, it would be like the valley of Rephaim. This was a wonderful place of rich harvest and abundant fields. But we read that it's called the valley of Rephaim, the valley of the giants. When did the giants take control of the valley? It wasn't their valley. This was Canaan land. This was the land of the Lord. This was the land of God's people. This was the place of their harvest. Who were these giants? The word Rephaim means the giants. Who were these giants? Who are these principalities and powers of darkness that want to control the valley, that want to take the harvest of the earth, and that have the insolence to call the valley by their own name, the Valley of Rephaim? The devil wants the harvest. The devil wants the harvest. Now let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 5 and read about this valley. 2 Samuel 5 and verse 17 or verse 18. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. The Philistines as well were a race of people that had giants among them, men of great stature, intimidating, imposing men. Goliath of Gath, a Philistine, was one of those giants who'd been taken down by David, but the Bible mentions at least four others. They were men that were difficult to deal with. They were powerful forces in the earth. They represent the demonic powers of the enemy. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? See, we can't take these giants out in our own cleverness. We can't take them out by cleverness of preaching, by humanistic ways. We can't take these giants out by the ability in our own hands, by our own expertise, by our personalities, by our charisma. These giants can only be taken out by the Spirit of God. And that's why David went to inquire of the Lord. We can't break the powers of the enemy over people in ourselves by our debate and arguments. We need the power of God. We need the Spirit of the Lord. David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Lord, will you deliver them into my hand?" The Lord said unto David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand. I will doubtless deliver the Philistines. If you want to reap corn in the valley of Rephaim," God says, "go up, for you will doubtless deliver, and you will gain the harvest back." Psalm 126 says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bearing his sheaves with him." This is the promise of God to every harvester. This is the promise of God to everyone who takes up the Spirit to be a soul winner and reach this world for Jesus Christ. The Lord says, "You will doubtless come again with rejoicing. I'm going to give you harvest. You will have the souls and lives of men and women gathered out from under the powers of the enemy and brought into the sanctuary of the Lord." David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. And David came to Baal Perazim. And David smote them there and said, "The Lord has broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters." Therefore, he called the name of that place Baal Perazim, Lord of the breakthroughs. The word Baal is really a common or generic term meaning Lord or master or owner. So often when we see the name, we identify it with the idol gods. But it was really just a common term. And David said, "This valley of Rephaim, I'm going to give it a new name. I'm calling it Lord of the breakthroughs. I'm calling it Master of Breakings. For the Lord is on the harvest field here. He's helping me drive back the enemies." And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. Verse 22, "And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, 'Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass, circle behind them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when you hear the sound of a going," New King James and says a marching, "when you hear the sound of marching in the top of the mulberry trees." Who's marching up there? The armies of heaven. The armies of heaven, the hosts of the Lord. "It shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees that then you shall bestir yourself. For then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines." And David did so as the Lord commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer. What a marvelous passage. David, by the power of God, by the help of the angelic army, the hosts of heaven on high, drove back the Rephaim, drove the giants, the Philistines, out of the valley and reclaimed that territory and harvest for the Lord. He said, "This valley is no longer going to be called the Valley of Rephaim. I call it the Valley of Baal Perazim. I call it the Valley of Breakthrough. This is where the Lord has broken through upon our enemies. This is where the Lord has broken the powers of darkness, and the harvest is coming back to the people of God and to the Lord himself." You know, every time somebody gets saved, the Valley of Rephaim becomes the Valley of Breakthrough. Every time somebody accepts Jesus Christ, the powers of the enemy are broken. There's been breakthrough by the God of heaven. The Lord of the harvest has come on the field, and that valley is now the Valley of Breakthrough. The Master of Breakthroughs has come. The Lord says to us today, go up, stir yourself. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Be sensitive to the sound of marching that you hear. Be sensitive, be tuned to the army of God. Be tuned to the voice of God. Inquire of the Lord and go up, for you will doubtless bring harvest back out of the earth to the glory of God. It shall be as when harvestman gathers corn and reaps ears with his arm, and it shall be as he that gathers grain in the valley of Rephaim. How many want to be involved and more involved in gathering the precious harvest of the earth, souls of men and women? Now let's turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And listen in on the Apostle Paul and his admonition to us. Romans chapter 1, verses 13 to 17. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was hindered, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. So I'm purposed to come, that I might have fruit among you. Verse 14, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. The Greeks, of course, were the elite of the nations of the world in that day. And to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in that gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live. Come out of his death by faith. Paul said the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. In the message of the gospel, in the explanation, in the presentation of the gospel, there is the power of God unto salvation. Because in that gospel is a revelation of the righteousness of God. Man who is sinful, man who has no righteousness of his own, nothing to commend him to an infinitely holy God. That gospel comes and provides man with the righteousness he needs, the salvation and the person of Jesus Christ. And man is received in the presence of a holy God, restored, made holy, made right, justified, and in fellowship and relationship with God. Man comes out of death, the just shall live by faith. The presentation of the gospel. Now, let's notice three phrases that the Apostle Paul uses. He said, I am debtor, I am ready, I am not ashamed. We can't slide this over somewhere today and say, you are debtor, you are ready. Let's take it in personally. This is the Word of God. I am debtor. I am ready. I am not ashamed. First words, I am debtor. We know it true that some people never pay their debts. They leave their debts for other people to pay, or they simply leave them unpaid. But Paul said, I'm a debtor. To the people of this world, I am a debtor to those that do not yet know Christ. Once we are redeemed by Christ, there is a debt, there is an obligation that comes upon us. We have been rescued. Now we must rescue others. We must reach out to the unsaved. We must reach out to people that do not know the Lord. We are in debt to present to them the gospel. I am a debtor. If you have truly been saved by the Lord, if you are truly born again and a child of God, there rests upon you an obligation that you can't get away from. We're going to carry this debt all the days of our life. I must share the gospel. Holy Spirit, help me. Is there somebody today, you're always monitoring the situation, monitoring your heart. Is there somehow, some way that I can tell somebody else about Jesus Christ? This obligation rests upon us day and night. Now, the Apostle Paul in Acts 20 could say something that I wish I could say more. And I wish I could say it fully like he did. Acts chapter 20. Apostle Paul said, verse 25, "And now behold, I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure, I am innocent, I am free from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Can you imagine being able to say that with a clear conscience, a contrite spirit? "Lord, I am free from the blood of all men. I have not hesitated to speak your gospel. Every situation, I have been bold to declare your name. Every opportunity that has come my way to declare the gospel of God. I am free from the blood of all men." The Apostle Paul was alluding to a scripture in Ezekiel chapter 3 on the watchman, how the watchman has a charge of the Lord to speak the words of the Lord to the people. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 17, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him not warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. We are the watchmen of the Lord. We are the ones with the gospel message. We are the ones with the word of the Lord in our mouth, and we must warn the wicked. We must warn those who do not know the Lord." This scripture in Ezekiel 3 haunted me when I was a young man. I couldn't get away from it. I couldn't get away from it. To be free from the blood of all men, to not miss an opportunity that the Holy Spirit opens to present the gospel, to share Jesus Christ with someone. Oh, I talked to some friends and people, and they said Ezekiel chapter 3 doesn't apply to soul winning. Well, nobody told the Apostle Paul that, obviously. He said, "I am free from the blood of all men." And today we are debtors to those who do not know the gospel. Paul said, "I am debtor." And then he said, "I am ready. I am ready. So much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel. I am ready to preach the gospel." The question this morning, are you ready? Are you prepared? Are you alert? Are you alive to present the gospel? The Apostle Peter said, 1 Peter 3:15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Consecrate the Lord. Separate the Lord to the forefront of your heart." Separate the Lord to the forefront of your heart and be ready always. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks a reason of the hope that is in you. Be ready always. Well, this morning, by the Holy Spirit, I'm going to help you pay your debts. Pay your debts of the gospel. And we're going to help you because today we have made available for you some gospel tracts that you can use and take, because we have found that these are very, very convenient. for sharing the gospel. And in fact, we've had these available for years in the house of God at the reception for those who wanted to purchase a few of them and use them. But today I want to put an emphasis on them. A few weeks ago, I felt that we should order in at least 1,000 of these, 1,000 on hand for the congregation this morning, that you can purchase some of these gospel tracts and have them with you, called the Four Spiritual Laws. Have you heard of the Four Spiritual Laws? In 1965, Campus Crusade for Christ was started by Bill Bright, and in the late 60s and 70s, these gospel tracts were very much in display and distributed, and we used them, and over the years of time, they're the most viable presentation. If you want the gospel in its quintessence, its simplest form, this is the gospel to give to people. And in it are, of course, the four spiritual laws. Law one, God loves you and offers a wonderful plan for your life. Then there's scripture. Law two, man is sinful and separated from God. Therefore, he cannot know and experience God's love and plan for his life. Shows how sin has separated man from God, and the wages of sin is death. Law three, Jesus Christ is God's only provision for man's sin. Through him, you can know and experience God's love and plan for your life. And law four, we must individually receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Then we can know and experience God's love and plan for our lives. There's instruction how to receive Christ. There's a sample of a sinner's prayer, how to open up your heart and respond to the Lord, and some brief instruction on how to walk the Christian life. And we have on the back of each of these tracts put the name Christ City, the address, and the website, so that any inquiring individual that picks up this tract can receive it. And if they have a heart to know God, they can find the Lord. They can follow on to know the Lord. I encourage today that each one of us would be ready. I am ready to preach the gospel. Don't leave home without it. Have these tracts in your home. You never know who's coming to the door. And you say, listen, could I give you a tract? I'm a Christian. Would you receive this? Carry them in your purse, in your messenger bag, your briefcase. Put them in your carry-on luggage. You never know when you'll meet somebody that you can share the gospel. You might only have a minute or two, but you know if you can get this tract in their hand, they're going to have a clear presentation of Jesus Christ, the sin of man, and the righteousness of God. This spring, I was encouraged by the Holy Spirit on my neighborhood walks to make sure I had a supply of four spiritual laws in my pocket, because I see many of the same people and neighbors and others, and as the Holy Spirit has been directing me, I have been stopping and giving out these four spiritual laws. Some teenagers sitting on the bench here and there have to cross that line of faith of another ethnic group, probably of another religion. Went up to one, I said, you know, I'm a Christian. I said, have you ever thought about Christianity? Would you receive this tract? He says, no, I'm not interested. And I walked 20 meters down the path, and he called out, wait, I will take one of those. I don't know what home that went into. I don't know how many people. I don't know what mother or father or brother or sister has read that. But I want to be ready. I want to be ready. Responsive. Open to the Holy Spirit. Ready to give out the Word of God. Have them at your desk at home. When people come to the door or workmen come into your house, God forbid that a workman should ever leave my house without a generous tip and a four spiritual laws in hand. Make sure the tip is generous. It might just open their heart a little more to what you've given them. They open up to the gospel. I am debtor. I am ready. Ready to preach the gospel. How many have found out that it costs money to pay your debts? Costs money to pay your debts. Not always, but sometimes. Sometimes you can pay your debts in other ways, by labor, by prayer. And so we pay our debt to the world by prayer. We pray over the souls of people. We pray for the harvest. Sometimes we can go and share the gospel in person, go to other places, or go within our cities and towns and villages. Sometimes we have to put up the money. Say, why does this church spend so much money in missions? We're just paying our debts. Hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars over the world into the ministry of this city and this nation and the nations of the world. Why? We're paying our debt. We're paying our debt. The Apostle Paul said, I take offerings from the churches so that I can make the gospel free of charge to those who don't know the Lord. I am debtor. I am ready. I am not ashamed. Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. May God give us holy boldness. We need Holy Spirit boldness. We need to break that demonic fear and intimidation that rises against us, those giants of Rephaim that would try and station themselves in the harvest field and cause us to hold back. We need holy boldness before the Lord. Said, well, what if people get upset? What if they get offended? What if they get twisted at me? What if they don't receive? Well, can I remind you of the words of the founding pastor of this church, A.G. Forsyth? Said, when you minister the gospel, when you preach the gospel to people and they offend you, you haven't done them any harm. Where are you going to drive them? To hell number two? Acts chapter 4. The early believers were commanded not to speak at all or preach in the name of Jesus, not to teach in the name of the Lord. Acts 4 and 18, they called them. The political leaders and religious leaders, they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And being let go, they went to their own company. They went to the believers and reported all that had been said unto them. And when the believers heard this, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of your servant David said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, they are gathered together for to do whatever your hand and counsel determined to be done. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth your hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of your holy child Jesus. And when the believers had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they spoke the word of God with boldness. They spoke the word of God with boldness. Ask the Lord for Holy Spirit boldness. It comes in the place of prayer. It comes in the place of prayer. The Spirit of God changes your life, transforms you. You begin to lose your self-consciousness and become more God-conscious, less interested about your own comfort and your own design and your own desires. But how can I spread the gospel? How can I pay this debt? How can I reach the people of earth with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Again, this morning, we have the four spiritual laws available if you would like a tool to help you. And these are in packages of 10 at a table in the foyer. $5, 10 tracts for $5. And you can take these if you have cash. You can pay at the table. If you need debit, you have to pay at reception. But I encourage you to get some four spiritual laws. Get some tracts into your hand, into your purse, into your briefcase, into your home, and be ready to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many want to reap some ears of corn in the valley of Rephaim? Hallelujah. Musicians, come. How many want to take out some giants like David? Say, I want to work alongside David. I want to be with David, the greater David, Jesus Christ, and his mighty men. And I want to turn the valley of Rephaim into the valley of breakthroughs, of the salvation and harvest of the Lord. Let's stand together this morning. Offer ourselves to the Lord as a harvester. It shall be as when the harvestman gathers corn, reaps the ears with his arm, and it shall be as he that gathereth ears in the valley of Rephaim. Let's offer ourselves to the Lord this morning as harvesters. Say those words to yourself. I am debtor. Sacred and holy obligation rests on me. I can't just walk by people. This soul winning, this personal evangelism, this rescue is not an option. It's not personal choice. It's something that we are in debt to by the Spirit of God, and we feel it. And so we must discharge our obligation before the Lord to love men and women, to show them the love of Christ. I am debtor. I am ready. And I am not ashamed. Let's offer ourselves to the Lord. If there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, Jesus is the only one who can forgive the sins of any man and any woman. He's the only one who can restore us back to relationship with God. He's the only one who can break the power of sin in our lives and give us eternal life, an eternity in heaven rather than in hell. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The apostle said, there's no other name given under heaven among men. No other name whereby we must be saved. If you don't know Jesus Christ this morning, the Holy Spirit is pleading through us. The Holy Spirit is calling to us. Be reconciled to God. Come and make peace with God. Come back into relationship with God. Give your life to follow Jesus. Is anyone here this morning doesn't know the Lord? Slip out from where you are as we close out in worship and make your way to the front, to the altar. We'll pray with you and lead you through decision for Jesus Christ. And again, if there are other needs in the body, you'd like prayer from the brothers and sisters this morning. You'd like the members of the body to minister to you. Slip out from where you are and come and receive ministry before the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's offer ourselves to the Lord this morning. Men and women of God, harvesters, looking for the precious fruit of the earth. So thankful for our salvation.